This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
U.S. airlines are looking to Japan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. A couple of big U.S. airlines are dueling over Japan's biggest carrier. The Wall Street Journal quotes sources saying American Airlines has increased its investment offer into Japan Airlines to $1.4 billion. Delta is also trying to forge a partnership with JAL. What does this say about the global economy, and what might it mean to you if you fly to Asia? We're joined now by Seth Kaplan with Airline Weekly. He's with us live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
So why do American and Delta both want this partnership so much?
Japan is an extremely important market. Now, it's not a growth market, not a place like, let's say, Brazil or China, but even despite being stagnant, it remains one of the largest markets in the world. And so how an airline does in Japan can tell you a lot about its overall profitability.
But we've been telling our listeners how much Japan Airlines is just flailing, heavily in debt, talk of bankruptcy in some quarters. What are the risks of an investment there?
Yeah, well, you know, only in the airline industry, Bill, could you have two companies fighting over who gets to invest more than $1 billion in another company that everybody agrees is in terrible shape.
Right.
But the reality is that strategically, Japan Airlines is very important to both American and Delta. Now, Delta already has a very large presence in Japan and in Asia in general, but that large presence doesn't translate into profitability. Delta operates a hub beyond Tokyo to take people to lots of other places in Asia, but they don't make money with those flights. So they would like Japan Airlines to operate those that service, be able to offer those destinations to customers, but without taking on that risk. In American's case, it and its other partners are concerned about losing a very important airline. Japan Airlines is their only partner in that whole region of Northeast Asia.
And just a few seconds here, Seth, a coalition of business travelers said earlier today a Delta Japan Air partnership would control more than 60% of the market, be too powerful. That's before we heard about the American offer. How might passengers be affected?
Well, they're correct. The Delta and Japan Airlines would together control a very large part of the market. Now, and to jump from that and say that certainly fares, for example, would increase, that's a big leap, and there's certainly evidence from other situations around the world that that doesn't necessarily happen. But certainly just the threat of some sort of antitrust concern could be enough to derail that deal and perhaps keep Japan Airlines with American Airlines where there's less of that kind of a threat.
Seth Kaplan with Airline Weekly, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
In other news this morning, new claims for jobless benefits rose last week, but just barely, we found out this morning. And that slowdown has economist Diane Swonk of Mesirow Financial slightly encouraged.
The good news is we seem to be firing almost at the same pace we're hiring now. It's better than we were a year ago when we were losing almost 750,000 jobs, but it's not, again, enough to really make people feel good about the economy.
Also this morning, America's biggest retail chains have been reporting their December sales numbers. Overall, same-store holiday sales were up compared to last year. Target, Macy's, Costco, The Gap reporting higher sales. Good for them, but it has still been a very tough stretch for retail companies and marketplaces. Elisa Roth reports it probably will be for some time to come.
Here's the thing. Even if Americans are starting to buy more stuff, they haven't gone back to their old spendy ways. Emmanuel Weintraub is a retail consultant. He says they probably won't start anytime soon.
There is an insufficient amount of consumer credit availability and spending availability to support the number of retail outlets that exist.
He says companies will have to close some of their stores or shrink them to get more in line with what he calls the new normal. And then there are the stores that might go out of business altogether. Wayne Hood follows the retail sector for BMO Capital Markets. He says some companies would have gone out of business ages ago, but banks keep giving them credit. He mentioned places like Sears and the discount clothing store Bon-Ton.
You know, others as well. Well, here we are a year later, and once again, they've survived.
He says some of those stores could get bought by bigger, more cash-rich competitors, but some of them will just go the way of last year's fashions and disappear. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. The S&P 500 is flat, and actually so is the Dow right now, but tech stocks are significantly lower by 0.5% this morning, the NASDAQ, that is. The Dow is at 10,573. As I say, it hasn't moved. European stocks were slightly lower today. Major Asian markets were down almost 1%. China's central bank raised a key interest rate for the first time in nearly 5 months, signaling some possible worries about inflation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
The FDIC is kicking around a new way to put limits on executive pay. It's considering a proposal to link salaries and bonuses to the fees that banks have to pay into the Federal Deposit Insurance Fund. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
This is the latest move by the government to address excessive risk-taking from the firms that helped create the financial crisis. The FDIC board is expected to vote next week on rules intended to reduce risk-taking. One aspect of the rules would link the fee banks pay into the FDIC insurance fund to executive salaries. Banks would also pay less if they had clawback provisions that allowed them to take back bonuses if they were based on risky trades or investments where the banks lost money. The FDIC already requires banks to pay more into the insurance fund if they accept big, high-risk deposits or rely too much on money from the Federal Home Loan Banks. The FDIC uses the fund to pay depositors if their bank fails. More than 150 banks have failed in the past 2 years. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, Hollywood is talking about another leaked movie script. You can go to a lot of websites today and see a script for the next Twilight film, Eclipse. That's awkward for the studio. It's especially uncomfortable for an actor named Jackson Rathbone. He plays the Jasper character. You can look at a screenshot of the first page of the script. It has a name printed across it, Jackson Rathbone. Studios do that to make these leaks less likely. Didn't work this time. This is Marketplace Morning Report. We hope to see you online. A lot there for you to see and read. Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.